That music can mean only one thing.
Yes,
it's
does.
Thursday afternoon. Kerry Wood is standing by. Brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. The man, the myth, the pitching legend, Kerry Wood. See, that's the walkout music. Is he out now on the mound? He's working on his larynx, right? Loosening up his larynx.
How are we doing, guys?
Couldn't be better. Hey, you know what? It seems to me, Kerry, that we finally have ourselves a little bit of a winning streak going. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I'm breathing easier as a Cubs fan.
The Joe Maddon effect. This last series. What an amazing series that was. Those last two games. He pulled all the right strings, and these guys got it done. It's been fun to watch, but they needed to get back on track against that team, and came away in grand fashion those last two games.
Well, they've won 7 of 8. Kerry, I hate to do this far out of the postseason, but Kyle Hendricks has been there. He started the season as their fifth pitcher in that rotation. He's been arguably the best and most consistent pitcher all season. The postseason rolls around. Is there any sort of controversy in who goes out for game one, or is it still the Arrieta-Lester combo to start?
You know, I think that's you play to – obviously Kyle's been great at home for us, so if we start out at home, maybe they try to mix in, get him in there and get him one of those starts at home first. But I think you play that all plays out as the end season ends and the playoffs start coming. But you mentioned Kyle Hendricks. I went and saw him in spring training. I spent a few weeks with these guys out in spring training, and he was the one guy. So obviously Jake was impressive, and Lester was getting his stuff together, and Hamill was actually really impressive this spring too. But I liked the way his focus was, Hendricks. I liked the way he was going about his business, and I really thought he was going to win 15 to 17 games, and I know he's at 10 now. He still has a shot at 15 to 17, but there's at least three games he probably should have had a W, and probably four, maybe five that he could have had a W. So he's by far, in my opinion, been our most consistent pitcher. He hasn't had a big hiccup. I mean, I'd like to see him go a little bit deeper in games. I feel like they've let him go a little bit deeper here in the second half of the season. But, you know, Jake's struggling a little bit right now in his last 7 starts. Jake's 1-4 with a 5 ERA, and Kyle's picked him up, and Kyle's 5-1 in his last 7 starts with a 1.1. So he's been fun to watch. He to me is our new Greg Maddux. I mean, he's got the same approach, the same kind of repertoire, and has a really, really good idea of what he's doing with the baseball, and his command is off the charts. So he's been fun to watch all year.
Isn't that exactly the point of a team? It's a team sport, right? And as much as we were making this all about Jake Arrieta and the rest of the team, this really is about when a guy's going to get cold, and Jake Arrieta has gotten cold, or when Dexter Fowler went out and got hurt. And then, you know, is come back. Obviously, you know, you have key positions, you've got key players, but it is important when you see the team coalesce, it really is something special.
Yeah, and to see Kyle quietly do it, no one's expecting him to do it. And you, like you said, you go into a series and like, oh, we got Hendricks, these are fifth starter. And you look at his numbers, you're like, man. Yeah. And then before you know it, you take a quiet 0-for-4 and he's pitching into the eighth inning and you're like, what just happened? This guy's throwing 90 miles an hour. He doesn't have overpowering stuff, but you quietly take your 0-for-4 and go home and try to get the next guy. But that's, like you said, that's what it's about. You got to pick each other up, and I think Fowler coming back off the DL has been our spark plug for the second half, and I think he's going to continue to propel us further down the line.
Well, and talk about total team effort. Sunday night, I think every single player saw some playing time, save for a couple of the starting pitchers. But we saw Travis Wood, the relief pitcher, out in left field. John Lester laying down the sack bunt at the end to get the win in that wild extra innings game in Sunday. Kerry, Travis Wood had to go out and play in left, and he made a great catch out there. Were you ever asked to play in any other positions than pitcher, whether it was a late inning game or anything like that?
You know, with Dusty as a manager, the starting pitchers that weren't pitching that day There was always two of us that had spikes on because we got some at bats late in games, or he would get a pinch hit to try to save a pinch hitter for later in the game. If a starting pitcher came out early, he would let one of the other pitchers go up and bunt or take a hack if he didn't want to waste a bench player yet. But we begged to get out in the outfield. We were begging our coaches to let us go out there. But again, it's these guys believe everything that Joe says, and every move that he makes, they all believe it. And I got to believe that, you know, Travis Wood goes out to play left field, that everybody in the dugout was hoping the ball would get hit to him and believe that he would make a play. He was an athlete out there, and I'm sure all the coaching and the rest of the fans didn't want the ball to go out there to him, but it's just fun. These guys believe everything that's happening, and then you get Lester to come up in the ninth inning or in the extra innings and lay down a bunt, and just the way it all happened. Hayward's probably the only one that I know that can make that play and score on that ball, and he just got such a great read, and you know, Lester gets a game-winning bunt in the 12th inning.
Wild. Carrie, I want to ask you about, with the Olympics starting, we saw that in 2020, baseball and softball will be making a return to the Olympics after 16-year absence. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about the Olympics in general? Do you guys watch?
I love the Olympics. I love that time of year. I love the Winter Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics. I've been saying that baseball should be back in the Olympics forever. I think it's I didn't like it when they took it out. I understand it's during the summer, and you got guys, you know, the big league guys won't, you know, not all of them are going to go compete and do that. And I'm not sure how they're going to pull that off when the time comes. But no, I think it's America's pastime that sports got to be in the Olympics. And you see the World Baseball Classic, the success it had over the years, and the following, and mm-hmm. I think it was a big success. So I'm excited about it.
And the 2020 Olympics are going to be in Tokyo too, where baseball's super popular, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
so. That'll be huge. Mm-hmm.
Should they just make it amateurs, carry? I mean, none of these pros are going to go play in it, right?
Yeah, but I think we can. I mean, you've got college kids, you've got your Cape mm-hmm. Cod, your kids out of college, you've got some. I'm not sure if they'll let minor league players go or not. But you know, again, you're the argument in the past was our big league, our best baseball players in America are not going to go and play in that. So you're not getting the best of the best for the Olympics in that. So it'll be interesting how they adjust and how they try to make that equal playing field all the way across the board for all the countries.
On a much smaller scale, golf is running into that problem, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, they've
definitely.
Added golf, and the golfers are like, hey, they got the Zeke, A. B, I got a major tournament. I'm going to lose money.
Right.
If I get an appearance fee that is going to – when we cover my travel expenses
right.
down to there, what am I doing? Why would I do it? And the Major League – and I know Major League Baseball isn't going to let the stars –
Well, the teams aren't going to want – when they're investing $20 million a year into a player, and then they're going to go add extra innings that they're not paying for, I don't think
right.
teams are going to want
Jake
it
Arrieta goes to start. I don't think so.
Yeah, and it'll probably come back to what they did with the World Baseball Classic. The team's mm-hmm. not allowed to tell the player they can't go.
Right. But they'll quietly in the hallway.
quietly recommend.
Hey, you're them. Busy, right?
Trust them a certain way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Listen, it's one thing I regretted. I was trying to stay healthy for my team that was paying me.
Mm-hmm.
I do, now that I'm done and retired, I really wish I would have had a chance to put on a USA uniform. I kind of regret that. But mm-hmm. I think if the players have an opportunity to go to play for their country and I mean, I don't think there's a bigger honor than to put your country's uniform on and go out and compete against the rest of the world. So it'll be an interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, Jake Arrieta and Dexter Fowler were on the last American Olympic team in 2008. So I'm going to get interesting to hear their thoughts on it as well. That was when they were.
Yeah, I think. And Rizzo went and played for the Italy team, I think.
That's right. That's right.
Right, because you don't have to. And that's the beautiful thing about the sports that are not necessarily native to other places.
Right.
They'll let you. Oh, yeah. Your grandfather.
I love pasta. I'll play for it.
I saw The Godfather. I'm good. We're good, right? You go. You go. Yeah.
Come on board.
You're 164th German? Come on.
You're with the Germans.
That's true.
We need a starting pitcher. Help us out.
It was really funny. The World Baseball Classic, right? Because Israel had a team, mm-hmm. right? And it was they found Jewish guys in the major leagues. They go, hey, you're good enough. Go ahead. Let's go.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols is playing for them.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense.
Duffel bag full of cash showed up on his front door. He's playing for us.
Now, I'm going to ask a controversial question here, you know, because that's my job, Carrie. My mm-hmm. job is to ask something controversial. Now, the Cubs, because of the slump that they had going into the All-Star break, we were talking about this sort of in the beginning, middle of June, about the pace that they were on. Could they actually break the Major League Baseball wins record this year? And now they're sort of coming back, and people are talking about that a little bit again. They're on pace right now to win 113, which does fall seven short of the record.
Mm.
But but at this point, if they do get hot again, is that the sort of thing? Because we're you know, heading toward middle of August, and you know, just about a month and a half left. Everybody's starting to think about what the postseason looks like here as you're making this turn at August toward September. I don't want to wish away August, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But is that any of those kinds of records, do they start to glint in these guys' minds?
Probably not yet. I'm sure they read the articles and hear the stuff, people talking about it if they are, but I don't think that yet. I think at this point you're looking at pulling away in your division, which we're doing, and as we get into September, maybe you start looking for triple digits. I think if you get to 100 wins, I was never part of a 100-win team. I was 97 or 98, but you win 100 games in a season, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal year. I think if you get past 100 wins and then you still have 3 weeks left and 2 weeks left and, two and a half, 3 weeks left, and maybe you start thinking about it. But I don't think these guys are thinking about it. They're thinking about their next start, their next game, staying healthy, nursing the little aches and pains that they have and trying to stay healthy and get ready for this playoff run. So players probably aren't thinking about it. I don't think the coaching staff's thinking about it. But, if they keep rolling and they're going to make us all not be able to not think about it.
Well, it's interesting,
playing like this
too, once you hit into September, right, you get to open the roster up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you think about all that talent that the Cubs have also sitting, in Iowa, right? Mm-hmm. And you just get an opportunity to think about those guys coming up. I mean, obviously they moved some of them here to make the roster moves that they've made and to, pick up guys. By all accounts, I mean, this is the year. They have made that determination, right? If it's not now, when, right? Isn't that basically what Theo Epstein is saying?
Said that. And, Kerry, did you like the deals they made at the deadline, the additions to the bullpen? Did you think they needed to do more?
I was just looking at that today, and I had a chance to play. Obviously, I played against Chapman for a while and got to see him. We all know what he can do. And Montgomery was a new guy for me, but looking into him and seeing, some of his past and his history, and he's a swing-and-miss strikeout guy, left-hander out of the pen, so he's going to help, obviously. And I spent some time with Joe Smith in Cleveland when he was a young player. He was just a few years in the big leagues, and man, he's got nasty funk sidearm submarine, and I think you add that to that. You add that to a pen with three other lefties and over the top guys, and Chapman throwing 100, and then you get Joe coming in throwing his funk, and it's just a different look. But I've always said that I feel like every bullpen should have some guy throwing sidearm submarine, something funky where you need an out, and you need an out now. You need to get somebody in there that can go in there and just give them a different look. And Joe's that guy. So I really like the Chapman pickup. I really like the Joe Smith pickup.
Because that hides the ball. Is that the point of that?
Yeah, it's not so much that. The hitters aren't used to seeing the ball come from that angle. They, even in batting practice, all the pitchers throw the same. They throw over the top or, high three-quarters arm angle, and it all looks the same. And a lot of the times, pitchers were, for the most part, over the top, and it comes out of the same slot. So they're looking in the same spot when the ball leaves a hand. When you get Joe Smith throwing it, when he lets go of it, it's down by his knees. It's like a fast pitch softball. They're not used to seeing the ball come out of the hand way down low. So it's just that's why they call it funk. It's just funky.
It's funky.
Funky.
I love that.
Let's tear the roof off the sucker here, right? All right. Kerry, thank you very much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Kerry.
Always a pleasure, guys.
See you, Kerry.
We'll talk to you next week. Kerry Wood, baseball analyst for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Now, traffic analyst for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
She's funky.
She's got that funk.
Mm-hmm.
Give up the funk.
Feeling the funk.
Yeah.
I got my hoops on.
She does. She's wearing hoops. Mm-hmm. Now, this is
like
an interesting thing.
It's
a
nice look.
We talked about this at dinner last night. We had everybody went out to dinner, and we all had to judge whether Violetta's hoops, give her that kind of
funk.
J-Lo thing, like that funk thing, or does it just make us want her to tell us her fortune? I don't know. One way or the other, she's going to tell us what's happening on the roads.